If you remember, when I informed Drover that I ate all the oatmeal cookies, including the one he thought he deserved, he went into a squalling, squirming fit. I gave him a minute to get it out of his system. Tell you what, son, since you didn't get your cookie, I'll give you a nice little surprise. He stopped whining and sat up. Honest? You'd do that just for me? Yes, just for you. Since I ate your cookie and apparently broke your heart, I'm going to let you stand with your nose in the corner. His eyes blanked out. That's not a nice little surprise. It's a big bad surprise. That's what you deserve, Drover, and that's what you get. Now put your nose in the corner and I'll start the clock.
Oh, drat.
Hanging his head, he padded over to the corner.
How long?
3 years.
3 years?
Yes, and I'm going to stand right here and watch you because I know you're a cheater. At that very moment, I heard two car doors slam down at the house. Drover, there's been a change of plans. Our people are leaving on vacation and we need someone from the security division to see them off.
I'll go.
You'll stay and don't cheat.
Oh, drat.
I left him there with his nose in the punishment corner and sprinted down the hill to wish our people a safe and happy trip to wherever they were going. Red Rebel. Bloody Creek. Ruby River. Something with red in the name. Red Rover. Red River. There we go. The car had just pulled away from the house when I joined Slim at the yard gate. While I barked a goodbye, Slim waved and called out, "Y'all have a big time now, and I hope you enjoy that picnic lunch." He looked down at me and grinned. Oh, Sally Mae never suspected a thing. At that very instant, the car came to a screeching stop. Slim's eyebrows shot up. Oops. I think she just figured it out, and it didn't take her long. Did he actually think he could fool her? Ha! He could have scrubbed out that back seat with alcohol swabs, and she still would have smelled a rat back there. As I've said before, nobody's safe around that woman. Anyway, the car started down the road again, but this time Loper rolled down his window and shook his fist in the air. Slim and I understood what that meant. Loper had gotten all the blame for the unfortunate incident, and he wasn't happy about it. Slim cupped a hand over his mouth and yelled, "Fair's fair, buddy. You're the one who left the door open. Me and Hank was just innocent bystanders." Yes, by George, he was exactly right. The Cookie Moon had made me do it, and Loper had gotten all the blame. I had been cleared of all charges, and holding my head at a proud angle, I marched back to the office. There, I opened the door on Drover's cell and set him free. The experience seemed to have left him in a thoughtful mood, and while I scratched around on my gunny sack bed, he said,
"You know, that business about the Cookie Moon really didn't make much sense."
I stopped scratching and stared at him. "So what? Who says everything has to make sense?"
"Well, I just thought..."
"We're dogs, Drover, and everything doesn't have to make sense. And to prove it, I'm going to sing a song about it." He gave me a look of amazement.
"No fooling?"
"That's correct. Listen to this." And with that, I belted out one of the best songs I'd ever composed. You want to hear it? I guess we have time.